Get a jump start on 2024 in a new Kia from Robert Brogdon's Olathe Kia. Shop their large selection, including the new Sorento, Niro, and Soul models. You'll score big with low prices, trade assist cash, and a 30-day money-back guarantee. Visit OlatheKia.com.
Yes, welcome back in the Chiefs Central here on Sports Radio 810. I say back in simply because we had a weekend off, a couple days and none of this show, but I feel like we're back in the swing of it. I would have missed this if we didn't have it here again tonight. If you don't know, this is our nightly during training camp recap of anything you may have missed over the day, or in the case of this particular show, over the weekend. Some big, big stories. Some consistent little stories that I find interesting in a couple different places throughout training camp, and we will absolutely talk about those. Also, we'll hear from a variety of players and coaches. Some really good stuff from a bunch of different people over the weekend, and again today as well. We'll get to some of them tomorrow also, because tomorrow there's no practice. Charlie, can I get a thumbs up? Charlie says thumbs up. No practice tomorrow in St. Joe for the Chiefs. Everybody gets a day off. So anything we don't get to today, we'll get to it tomorrow. Make sure you have a chance to hear at least a little bit from everybody who speaks at St. Joe. That's my general goal, although I am now remembering that I didn't write down Harrison Butker. Bring him around tomorrow. Give you a little Butker, a little taste of that number one kicker action. Not tonight, though. Tonight, we're going to hear from Justin Houston. I promise you that. We're going to hear from Bob Sutton. I promise you that. Also, I think we'll get to Dave Tobe. Chris Conley is always very interesting. Eric Berry had a ton of good stuff to say on Saturday about his comeback, both from injuries and from illness, and also some stories from his dad. He was fantastic, so we'll get to Eric Berry tonight as well. Also, just for a minute, I want you to hear from Steven Nelson, because he had a tremendous answer whenever he was asked what he does to take his mind off football a little bit, because he talked after Chris Conley, and Conley's making movies and everything. Steven Nelson's answer was fascinating, legitimately, not even as a joke, like actually fascinating. Xavier Williams, Anthony Hitchens, and again, Butker on the rundown for the next couple of days. Probably have to get to those guys tomorrow, though. We'll see how much time we can get through tonight, though. We're just here for an hour. My name is Joshua Briscoe. I don't know if I said that at any point. And Charlie Carlin is here as well. You can follow me on Twitter at JB Briscoe and Charlie at CCarlinKC. Do that, and also at Sports Radio 810, and let us know if there's anything that you're wondering about. I'm always keeping tabs on whatever it is that's happening at training camp, even the days that I'm not out there. So if you have any questions that you may want answered, you can tweet me at JB Briscoe. You can tweet at 810. If you tweet during the show while we're live here, I'll be checking it up and taking questions as we go. Otherwise, I'll get to it whenever I can, if you're listening to the podcast later on or whatever. So that's the gist of it all. That's the storyline. That's what we're doing here. And let's actually do it now. The one story that I've been talking about a little bit today from over the weekend, the one thing that's actually giving me, and I'm going to sound like I'm railing against everything that I have been this entire offseason, but the one thing that's giving me a little bit of comfort as far as the Chiefs cornerback situation is what we've gotten out of training camp about Kendall Fuller and Steven Nelson, and even to some extent David Amerson. The updates from all three of those guys have all been tremendously positive for different reasons, though. David Amerson's picked off Pat Mahomes a couple times, so you can take that as good news or bad news. I choose to just take it as news because it makes me sad to think of Pat Mahomes throwing interceptions to David Amerson, but it makes me happy to think of David Amerson catching interceptions. So that's a mixed bag. That's how it always works in training camp. Whenever somebody looks good on defense and somebody looks good on offense, the thing that really matters, though, obviously, is that Patrick Mahomes is good, because this defense is good enough to keep a good team good whenever Mahomes is. It's not good enough to make a good team good whenever Mahomes is bad. So Patrick Mahomes is absolutely the investment that you're supposed to be paying attention to here. But that's not really the main thing. That's a little optimism for David Amerson, though. Steven Nelson has had nothing but good reports coming out of camp. When I've been out there, the videos we've seen since then, the reports from the people who are out there every day. Steven Nelson right now feels like he's the guy who's not winning a job. He was already going to be this team's number two cornerback, but to be winning some extra confidence among coaches and fans alike, Steven Nelson's getting a bunch of good reports out of camp. I'm starting to settle down on him a little bit. And the thing with Kendall Fuller that I find to be tremendous is that we have seen the Chiefs confirm now in training camp something that we've heard discussed, we've assumed, we've seen in minicamp for a blink of an eye. We're seeing how the Chiefs are starting to use Kendall Fuller. And it's by letting him be your number one corner whenever you're in a base defense with just two cornerbacks out there, but whenever you're in a sub-package that demands at least two corners, which is going to be happening at least 70% of the time for the Chiefs. Andy Reid put a number on it back on Saturday, and I can't remember if it was 70 or 75, but somewhere around there. Whenever you're in a sub-package like that, you bring in David Amerson, then Kendall Fuller gets slid over to the slot, which is where he is a dominating presence defensively. So I like that a lot. And now, if you are maybe hesitant about the idea of having your number one cornerback be in the slot because you imagine a slot receiver to be Wes Welker, then good news, slot receivers in the NFL are terrifying because that position has really evolved. Just look at the Chiefs. Who's going to be in the slot the most for the Chiefs? You may say Chris Conley because he's the third receiver, but I would counter that by saying it could almost certainly be Travis Kelce. Whenever he splits out, he's going to end up in the slot very frequently. It could be Sammy Watkins because you could go ahead and send Kelce out wide, or maybe you bring in Chris Conley, and Conley's a perfectly good fit out on the edges also. So maybe it's Sammy Watkins, or maybe it's Tyreek Hill. This team does not have a slot receiver in the traditional sense, though, because they have three unbelievable pass catchers, and also Chris Conley, who is a good NFL receiver. The amount of weapons on this team are mind-boggling. And so now imagine that in the inverse, where you're trying to defend it. Put Kendall Fuller at the hardest position to cover because he is the best option at covering any of those aliens that may get lined up in the slot, be it a Travis Kelce type, who is, you know, just again an alien, or be it a reptilian solar being like Sammy Watkins with crazy speed, Tyreek Hill as well. Also, the guy in the slot has to be covering everything in every direction at every angle. For all of the things you may think about, you know, an outside corner being the guy that rules your defense, your slot corner has to be maybe the most athletic guy in your secondary, and almost certainly the most confident, almost certainly the quickest. That's a really hard combination to find, and the Chiefs found that guy in Fuller. So he's going to be in the slot for the majority of this season, and he'll be on the field 100% of the time. I feel good about that. That makes me happy. That gives me a little bit of peace of mind. I would still like to see the Chiefs bring in Bashaud Breeland, and then to make him the guy that's out on the edge 70% of the time, and then Amerson is your fourth guy or depth guy if somebody gets dinged up, which is almost certainly going to happen at some point. We'll see if the Chiefs actually are able to land Breeland. If they don't, I'm gonna feel better than I did a week ago. This is a place where I have tangibly felt a little bit better as training camp has gone on, which I wasn't all that prepared to do. So I'm pleasantly surprised by feeling a little bit better about all of those things. One guy that I am terribly interested in, though, going into this season, and it has been a major part of a bunch of off-season discussions, has been Justin Houston. Because he has been discussed as a guy who has lost a step or was dinged up, who is past his prime or about to prove to you that he's still in it. Any number of positions have been taken on Justin Houston. We have talked about him in a bunch of different lights in a bunch of different ways. I'm excited for this season, Justin Houston, because my thought was that he is slowly still recuperating and coming back from injury, but that whenever we see a fully healthy Justin Houston again, as we are poised to see at the beginning of this year, we might end up seeing the monstrous sort of Justin Houston that we haven't seen in 100% full force in a little while, even as he has still been an extremely good pass rusher. But Justin Houston spoke out in St. Joe, and he said that his recovery has taken time, but now he is back to peak form.
I could feel it. It's just my body presence. It's when you have surgery, and the surgery I had on my knee, it takes time. As much as you want to be ready, it still just takes time to get your pop back and get where you want to be at. So I think I'm there. I'm beyond there right now. And it just feels great to be back in that feeling.
So in the past 2 years, you just weren't completely right. And now you're there.
Yeah, I didn't have all my strength in my leg. I was out there pretty much on one leg, but no excuses. I was out there. So I had to do my job. But it's going to be a great year.
I'm sorry. And then last thing, just how have you been feeling on the right side, getting some work there? I know it's kind of...
Like I said, it don't matter what side. I want to be everywhere. Like I said, the weakest link, that's where I want to be. So every team is different. Everybody got a different weak link. So whoever got the weakest link, wherever he is, that's where I want to be.
When is that decided? When they break the huddle, when do you decide where to line up?
That'll be game plan. Right now, it doesn't matter. I'm pretty much picking and choosing. But week by week, it'll be game plan. Like I said, it depends on the opponent. Not until this offseason. That's when I felt like it was. I felt more comfortable. Doing everything. I didn't feel comfortable doing everything when I was playing, but now it doesn't matter what I'm doing. I feel comfortable doing it.
Did it heighten the disappointment level of the playoff losses, knowing that wasn't you at 100%?
No, because I don't make excuses. I'm out there, so when I'm out there, I got to go. There's no excuses. That's life. You don't. You just play the hand you dealt with. So. And that was the hand I was dealt, so I had to play. There was no excuses.
You talked about giving the strength back and everything, but are there other ways maybe that you are changing as a player, whether it's technique, approach, style, moves?
I would say wisdom, just getting a better feeling of the game, the knowledge of the game, to be able to see and understand things before it happens. So by formation, identifying plays, I can identify more plays now, just getting more and more experience.
Chris Jones says he wants to lead the NFL in sacks. Do you have something to say about that?
I hope he do. If I'll be happy for him. But I doubt he beat me. But he definitely can. He can do a lot of things for us that help us to be great.
Do you have a goal in mind, or does it just come with whatever happens?
Super Bowl ring, man. Whatever comes with that, that's all that matters.
Anything else?
One more thing.
Yeah, sure.
Do you see a difference with this defense? Just personnel, a lot of changes in the offseason with this defense.
It is, and I think I love how we're growing. There's no hot-head guys. It's just everybody's on the same page. So they have many hot-heads, because when you come to a new team, a guy really be quiet and really don't feel open to speak. That's what I mean by hot-head, because you come to a new team, some people be shy and just don't take to other guys. But every new guy we brought in, they just been all open. Some people just be closed when they uncomfortable with a new environment, but all the guys we brought in, they just seem like they willing and they open and they ready to go.
So much to unpack. Justin Houston gave you more in 3 minutes there than some of these guys will give you all season, legitimately. Thing at the end there, immediately everyone goes, "Oh, Marcus Peters! He said no more hotheads! He hates Marcus Peters!" And then immediately after saying hotheads, he decided to talk about the fact that he's talking about guys who are coming in and needing to have guys who are open and willing to be a part of whatever it is that you're building as a team. I thought that was really interesting insight because the question was about who they're bringing in defensively. And so I think that's a good endorsement. Not that he would tell us if it wasn't the case, but I think it's a good endorsement of Anthony Hitchens and Xavier Williams and all of the draftees. Speaks and Nottie and Will and Smith and Watson, all of those new guys. Not that he's even had a chance to work with them. Like that specifically, I would think at most is probably about Breland Speaks, a guy that they brought in who is now playing at his position. I'm sure those guys have spent a whole lot of time together, and so that I think that speaks well. No pun intended, of the draftee. Really wasn't intended. I wish it was intended. It would have been. I would have really leaned into it. So I guess you could say for the first year linebacker, that really speaks well. Joshua Briscoe, Sports Radio 810, live from training camp. Back to you in the studio. So there's that, and that's like a thing to breeze over compared to other things that Houston said there. He said he felt like he spent last year out there on one leg. He was still pretty good last year. He was, by a long shot, this team's best pass rusher. Outside linebacker, at least. He still showed quite a bit of burst and some extremely good traits still. And he did that on one leg! By his own admission. And so the thing I think is interesting there is because he follows that up with another question later where they say, so do you feel like, was it harder for you to take the loss in the playoffs knowing that wasn't you at full capacity? He goes, no, man, I'm not making excuses. And they don't make, these guys don't make excuses as the game's going on. But then in retrospect, for him to discuss the fact that he was basically playing on one leg is meaningful to me. Because it puts it in a new light. Where it's not excuse-making of the time. It's not even excuse-making retroactively. It's him saying... I see it not as Justin Houston lowering the bar for himself last year that he was supposed to clear, but for him raising the bar for himself this year. Because now, if this year looks exactly like last year... Then, I mean, wait a second. What happened to when you said that you were playing on one leg? What happened to that? Where did that go? Wasn't that supposed to be you coming into this year with an extra appendage? Like, shouldn't you have been spring-loaded in 2018... That's the expectation for him now, and I think that's totally fair. I also love what he said about he wants to go up against the weakest link. The Chiefs are moving him around because D Ford is always he's an interesting case where his best success as a Chief was while Justin Houston was out, and D Ford was out on the left side of the defense up against the right tackle of the other team, which is usually the weakest link. But Houston says he wants to attack the weakest link. And I don't even mind putting Justin Houston up against the strongest link if it gets D Ford a matchup advantage. Because I am more confident in Houston versus a team's best tackle than I am Ford against a team's worst. And I think that combination makes a little more sense. It allows them to have a better chance of meeting in the middle in a way that gives you a better look at the defense. And the pressure they can create. The other guy from the defense, we'll get to Eric Berry in a little while, but the other guy that has a lot of say in the defense other than Eric Berry and Justin Houston is Bob Sutton. And Bob Sutton is fascinating to me because there is virtually nothing but cynicism and concern and confusion and whatever the opposite of an endorsement is about Bob Sutton with this team and this defense right now. And it was throughout last season. And this offseason, I wouldn't have begrudged the Chiefs for letting him go. I wouldn't have been upset by that. But the Chiefs made an investment this offseason. They moved a ton of personnel. This whole defense is overhauled. From every position group, there are new guys. Middle of the defense is a totally new defense. Derek Johnson's out. The porridge at nose tackle has been completely dumped and refilled. Now it's Derek Nnadi and Xavier Williams. It's Anthony Hitchens. It's all the guys they drafted. It being Speaks and O'Daniel and Watts and Smith. And they traded Marcus Peters and brought in Kendall Fuller and signed David Amerson. Getting Steven Nelson back from injury. This defense is more different than it is the same. And so the Chiefs have said, all right, Bob, here is a new crop of players for you to work with. And now this year, Bob Sutton has to feel the heat lamp just lowering down from above him. But he talked at training camp as well. He started off by being asked which of the young guys he's most interested in seeing in this upcoming preseason game.
I would think honestly all of them. You know, we're all interested in seeing what the new guys can do, and we've got a lot of young guys and new guys. I'll put it like that. That you know we haven't had a chance to see them play in the Chiefs headgear. So I think we're excited about that. But I just think all of them honestly at this stage. Until you really get out there and game, you're never quite sure exactly how they're going to respond and what they're going to do and, you know, how you're going to deal with the first time adversity hits you. You know, as an individual player, I didn't play the play right or I got beat or whatever. And can I come back and still have the confidence and belief in myself that you need? So, I think it'll be exciting for all of us, coaches and the players.
With that being said, can we assume Speaks would be at the top,
there's a lot of them I'm interested in. You know, we got a lot of rookie defensive players, as you just set up that way this year, as it turned out. So we got all those guys, which is a few more than you normally have. So we got several guys, but definitely, you know, Breland, we want to see what he can do. Hegan, Dorian, and Daniels, we want to see what he can do. Trey Smith, I think, has come along really well. He's going to, I think, be an interesting guy there. We got Watts back, you know, he was just yesterday, I think, it was his first day back. So there's a bunch of those guys that I think will be, that I think will be fun to watch.
Bob, as far
as speech goes, I'm still kind of learning a new position.
Yeah.
I know you don't like to put limits on a guy, but what's reasonable to expect from him
at
least early in the season?
Yeah, I think he's a guy who's grasped the information, I think, really well for someone that really hasn't kind of been involved in that kind of position. So from what we've seen in OTAs and what we've seen out here in this short period, I think the guy can go in and play. I mean, from a coverage standpoint, he has some natural ability there, you know, just understanding what's happening. And then, of course, I think he can rush. I think, a valuable rush guy because he can rush either inside and or outside. So he gives us some flexibility.
This sort of dovetails into that. In a better position to get sack totals up this year?
Well, yeah. I mean, you know, I don't, sacks are, to me, are interesting. I mean, they're not the, would we love to have a million sacks? Yeah, I would love that. But the most important thing to us is always protecting the kids. You know, that's the key, deal. And that certainly comes from pressure. Sacks are one way to do it. But you got to do it sometimes with tight coverage, sometimes disguise, whatever it is. But you want to affect the quarterback. But obviously, you can affect the timing. You don't have to sack him. But as long as you're moving and making him get off that spot a little bit, you can affect him.
You talked about how just young guys with new guys.
Yeah.
Injuries. In this short period of time that you've worked with them, is there anything you've been able to pick up that you maybe didn't want to see or surprised you?
No, I would say we're excited because it's exactly the guy we thought we would get. Hitch is he's a all-consumed football guy. He's all football, great competitor, great student of the game, great preparation. This guy prepares and does a tremendous job. Physical, highly competitive guy, and I think he's exactly the guy we thought we would get. And he's demonstrated so far that he is, I think.
Looking at Robert Golden, he's a new guy as well.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty vocal, had a hard hit today. How is he kind of developing and meshing?
Well, yeah, I think Robert is a veteran guy. He's been around, been a good teams player, done a lot of things. Again, really knowledgeable, has really good awareness, helping a lot of the young guys out back there, from calling splits to formations, all those things that comes with experience that he has. So anytime you get a veteran guy that's vocal like that, I think it not only helps just the back end guys, but it helps everybody,
Because you have Justin Houston on the right and D-Ford on the left.
Just we're just moving them around. They play just like last year. They'll play both sides, play both inside and outside.
And then right now you have a Ligway filling in for Ragland. How do you evaluate Justin?
I think he's done a really good job. We've got a couple of guys. T. Smith has stepped up in there and done a really good job. And it's unfortunate we didn't get Reggie right away, but the plus side of that, some of these other guys got to come in here and kind of take advantage of these opportunities and get a chance to play with all the first team guys and that. So that's the thing. But I think Ligway's done a really nice job.
It's Bob Sutton from training camp. There are a few interesting things in there. My favorite one to talk about, I think, is that he made it sound like Breland Speaks is ready to play now. I say that hesitantly because I sort of was listening, kept waiting for him to say, he'll be ready soon or ready eventually, or we'll see him grow this season. We'll see him evolve this season, any of that, anything to couch what he sounded like, what he was saying, which was, yeah, he's ready to go. He said Speaks can play, and he said he's comfortable in the coverages, comfortable, obviously, rushing the passer, comfortable in different positions, and he had every opportunity there, I felt like, to sort of back down and say, well, you know, he's a work in progress, yada, yada, yada. He's learning the new position. No one would blame Sutton for saying that. No one, I don't think, is really going to blame Speaks if he isn't immediately comfortable as an outside pass rusher. But Bob Sutton didn't give you any of that wiggle room. He did not for a second tell you anything other than to expect Breland Speaks to start playing soon. And that's good news. We never heard that kind of confidence about Tano Passanio, at least as far as I can remember. You might be able to check me on that. I don't know. But I still don't feel like we've heard that Tano Passanio is ready. And maybe he's more developmental of a guy. Maybe he's got a higher ceiling than Speaks does, but it's going to take longer to get there. I don't know. But those are the guys that, to me, are really connected in my mind. Guys that are playing the same position, coming in with similar expectations, and it seems like Speaks is closer than Passanio, which is good for the immediate future. Hopefully, Passanio ends up following along those footsteps pretty quickly as well. Whenever we come back, we'll hear from, I don't know, any combination of guys that I decide to pick out of the gulag. Is that a word? Is it supposed to be goulash?
Goulash. Mm. Did you combine goulash and catalog?
Is gulag, hold on, isn't a gulag, maybe a gulag is a, I think gulag is a thing, hold on. No, a gulag is a system of labor camps maintained in the former Soviet Union from 1930 to 1955, in which many people died.
That's not Chiefs training camp.
No.
At least we hope not.
Also, I'm glad we Googled it immediately, because labor camp could have sounded like I was making a joke. Could have sounded like I was comparing training camp to a Soviet gulag. I was not. Is a goulash like a soup? Isn't it like a soup? Yeah, a soup or stew of meat, usually seasoned with paprika and other spices. That's the one. That's the one I was going for.
Big difference.
Not the labor camp in which many people died. The delicious-looking soup or stew. Because we have a big stew of players who have talked over the weekend and earlier today. Not the labor camp. You're listening to Chiefs Central on Sports Radio 810. I'm Josh Briscoe, and I'm going to go brush up my Soviet history so I don't do that one again. Welcome back in to Chiefs Central here on Sports Radio 810. WHB, my name is Josh Briscoe. Charlotte Carlin is here as well. I liked the change of going from NFL Films music back into some good old Drake. It's nice. No, it's okay. Charlie just mouthed, oh yeah, I forgot. No. I kind of like it. It's kind of a little change up. And it gives me a chance to give you those very football-y words like Chiefs Central Sports Training Camp. Sports Training Camp 10. Follow me on Twitter. Please. We are here every weekday after everything else gets done. If it's sports night, if it's baseball tonight post-game, anything. We are here at the end of the day. We're like the test pattern that signals that the TV has gone off the air back in an era that I literally wasn't alive for. I don't know how long ago that was, but I don't think I existed then. But we are the sign that you are transitioning from local to national sports talk here on 810. We are the last vestiges of Chiefs discussion that you're going to get until 6 a.m. the next morning rolls around. And we're going to get you everything that you need to have heard or need to hear about from training camp so far today. That's been Justin Houston and Bob Sutton. And I want to stay with the defensive side of things here for a minute so you can hear from Eric Berry. I was actually out here for this. This was back on Saturday. And Berry had just a million interesting things to say about a million different interesting topics. So this is Eric Berry from Saturday. he's talking here. He was asked if the comebacks, both from injury and from illness, if they have gotten harder each time.
I mean, I just kind of look at it the same way. I just look at it as a challenge, and I just attack it. And, you know, I had a talk with my dad before I left. He just, you know, told me not to get discouraged, which I wasn't. But he just wanted to make sure I wasn't getting discouraged and make sure I just kept putting in work any way that I could. It didn't always have to be physical, but also understand that you can get better mentally as well. So just still having that talk with him helped me out throughout this period.
Is that where it gets more difficult, the mental part of it, the grind?
Not the mental part. I think it's understanding that I don't have to do as much physical stuff, you know what I'm saying, as far as just tearing my body down and keep trying to push myself to the limit. I mean, I'm to the point where I'm going to be in shape. I know I can get in shape. I know I'm going to be ready physically to play. It's just understanding that and trusting that process so I won't overdo it.
Do you ever wonder how many comebacks you have in like this? Understanding the cancer was the big one, obviously.
I just keep on trucking, man. You know, I don't know what life gonna throw at me. You know, and it's just period. You know, you never know what's gonna come your way. And however it comes to you or whatever it is, you just roll with the punches and keep pressing forward.
You've lost three full seasons basically to injury or illness now. Mm-hmm. You ever wonder what you would have accomplished had you been able to play those three?
Sometimes, yeah, because, you know, I got hurt my second year. I felt like I was probably in the best shape of my life. And I was starting to learn that defense and becoming very acclimated what was going on around me. Started learning the defense, learning about NFL football. And then I had the injury, and then that the cancer bit, had that injury when I felt like I was getting to my peak where I needed to be. And same thing with last year. But you really can't wonder where you would be. There's no telling, because I learned so much throughout all three of those processes, including this one, all three processes. And I just keep growing, and I can't really tell you where I'd be without them.
So you don't feel cheated? Right?
No, not at all. Not at all, because I learned so much. The whole cancer deal was actually a privilege, to be honest with you. It was a blessing at the same time, because I learned so much. I, you know, helped so many people, and so many people helped me as well. They inspired me, you know, just being able to connect with them through that common thread of having cancer and being able to overcome it. So, I mean, I can't really tell you where I would be without those situations either.
You said
specifically last year, that was probably the best of the three teams where you were missed the season. What do you feel like you guys might have accomplished if you didn't have those playoffs?
I'm not sure. It definitely would have been a good one. I know that. But right now I'm just locked into, you know, making the most out of my opportunities and creating some as well right now. So as long as we just keep moving forward and I just stay locked in and stay focused, which I'm going to do, sky's the limit.
You said your dad had a talk with you to not be discouraged. Has he had those talks with you during the last couple injuries? Is that a common thing?
All my life, really. Just all my life, you know what I'm saying? Because I just, sometimes I might tend to overthink things at times, and instead of just doing it. And he's always been the person to ground me and keep me humble and also put things in perspective for me, you know, because sometimes we get caught up in our head a little bit too much. But he's always been there to be like, look, you still, just take care of business.
Does he tell you stories related to Bible verses? What's his way to kind of ground you?
Man, my dad, he's a different cat. I mean, he's very wise. I mean, we could be watching Lord of the Rings. We could be watching any type of movie, and he'll, you know, connect it to life. Or any type of way you feel like you can teach me something or teach anybody something. That's how he develops and, you know, gets his point across. So I love him to death, you know.
Looked at as a defensive leader of the team, when you see all defensive draft, you have five new guys coming in, they're supposed to interview you. How do you set that tone and sort of get them along and say, this is what it means to be a Chief in my room, really?
It's really on film. The film speaks for itself. They see the type of DNA we have. They know about getting to the ball, playing selflessly, and just playing for one another. And they see it on film every day through the past seasons, and they see it in practice. So just echo that out. It's not just me, it's everybody that echoes that. So,
what do you think your return does for a Danny Sorensen and Eric Murray, just your presence in the room?
I'm not sure. Hopefully it makes their job easier. And, you know, I just want to be out there and be able to help the team. So,
a couple more guys.
You went through being an additional coach last year. You sort of referenced this past summer how much that can maybe help you from a mental standpoint for this, being better prepared. Where did you feel like you learned most from being an additional assistant coach, where you can translate that to the more mental aspect of what they're going to try to do this season?
And it kind of I guess it kind of helped me bridge the gap between having just solely player eyes where I could also see it from a coach's perspective where it might be a certain technique or a certain play that they want to get accomplished, but it's a little bit of gray area in between, so I can kind of see it from the coach's perspective and the player's perspective and, you know, just kind of get a little more specific to where we can meet on the common ground.
Justin Colquitt talked yesterday, and he said, you know, when you get to be a certain age, you've been around a long time, you begin to realize the window is closing on opportunity. Do you ever feel that way? I mean, you saw DJ. Did you see some of your buddies leave over the years?
It's been like that. You know, it's just, even when I came in, Brian Waters was here, you know what I'm saying? And that's who I remember. And he used to have those talks with me at a young age. Brandon Flowers, he talked to me about it all the time. He was just like, wait till your third year, you're going to start feeling a little of these aches and pains and stuff. He told me that my rookie year. And a lot of those guys just kind of prepared me for it and just said, you know, just take advantage of your opportunity. So I'm going to just keep on pressing, like I said, and just keep on moving forward.
There's some really good stuff in there from Eric Berry talking about how his dad keeps him grounded and will pull something from watching Lord of the Rings and relate it to whatever it is they're talking about. Keeps him, you know, not from being anxious or whatever, but or discouraged, I guess is the word he used, but just to check in to make sure he's not. And then talking about how him getting cancer was a privilege because it helped him learn so much and connect with so many other people that are going through something similar. And then to help people going through similar things. That's crazy, man. I just don't think there are very many people that come out of cancer and go, that experience was a privilege. That was for the better for me. And I'm also, for the record, like, I'm not here for making every athlete a genius or a god or a role model or whatever. I think you have to evaluate athletes just like you would evaluate anybody else. That you know, figure out, hey, what do I know about this person? What do I think about this person? What do they mean to me? What are they shown? At some point, I think in that clip, you could hear a bunch of kids in the background like chanting Tyreek, 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 because they're trying to get his autograph during training camp. That makes me feel gross. But I want to drive home the point that I'm not going to tell you that every single dude on the NFL team that I root for is some hero or Dalai Lama-esque figure. Not every chief is Gandhi. I would love to make that extremely clear. Because sometimes I think people can get sucked into that. You go, oh, this guy's a star for my team, so he is now Gandhi. He is now the Buddha. Eric Berry seems like a pretty special type of dude to come out of cancer with. Saying it was like a privilege. I don't know, man. I just thought that was crazy. Good stuff from him. Also on Saturday while I was out there, Steven Nelson spoke. He had some interesting things to say about the corner group as a whole, but I snipped some of it out because the audio quality is not great. But there's a minute here on what Steven Nelson does whenever he wants to take his mind off of football, and I didn't see this one coming.
I talk to my family, my son, and raising him, and I meditate. You know, that takes me to a whole other level. So, yeah.
How long have you been meditating?
Going on about 3-4 months now.
What got you started on that?
Man, meeting different people. I think the universe just brought me closer to different people that were supposed to be in my path. So, you know.
Is it tough to meditate, or was it a natural thing, just easy to start doing it?
Starting off, it's a little rough because you don't understand it. You don't even know what you're doing. They tell you to just cut off the light in a dark room and just close your eyes. But, you know, you just really got to tap in, man. It's a practice, you know, just like we practice.
Is it the first thing in the morning?
Whenever, man. Yeah, you can meditate. Meditate doesn't have a time or anything. Whenever you feel any type of stress or anything you're going through, you got a raise or something, you wanted a raise or something, you meditate on that thought, you know what I mean, it's limitless.
Thought that was interesting, right? Football's about violence and intensity and, like, anger and violence again, and maybe some more violence, and Steven Nelson's like, yeah, I've been meditating for the last few months, and I feel great. Like, oh, well, that's awesome.
Should we spend the last 17 minutes of the show meditating?
I'm gonna do it later. Yeah, dude. If professional football players can get something out of it, I probably can. Those guys seem pretty riled up. I feel like that's probably worth it. Give it a shot, right? Turn off the lights and close your eyes and sit somewhere. The problem is I am asleep 30 seconds after doing that. If I was going to turn off the lights and lay down in any environment, I could be on train tracks with the noise of a train coming at me. I'm dead because I fall asleep right there and it's over. I'm a sleepy boy. I thought that was interesting. And let's, while we're doing kind of this like whole football players being well-rounded thing, let's go to Chris Conley. He also talked on Saturday. It was a really good day for football players being more than football players, and I eat that stuff up. I think it's interesting and honestly maybe even important to remember that football players are and can be well-rounded people. Maybe it makes us a little more generous in some of our coverage as to, I don't know, just, yeah, what these guys are and everything. And the reason I think it's interesting, if you really want to know more about people, you ought to know what they do that's outside of their job, right? Sports are weird that way, though, because for most people, sports are the thing they do outside of their job. So, you know, if you work in a normal office setting, you're probably listening to this station now, not as a part of your job. But this is the thing you do when you drive to work or home from work. Or, you know, we got drive time radio. That's not for people driving to and from their sports talk radio jobs or to and from their NFL playing jobs. It's for everybody else. And so it's weird for, like, that's maybe the one thing where I feel like I can relate to, like an NFL player or whatever. Maybe that's why I am so on board with wanting to make sure that sports figures also get to have other aspects of their lives. I think it's really interesting. And Chris Conley is like the shining star of football players who embrace other parts of their lives. I think it's awesome. He was asked back on Saturday how his movie shoot in Kansas City went, and he ended up going on to talk about the importance of having these off-the-field interests.
Went well. Yeah, went really well. We wrapped on a two-day shoot. Now we're in post-production. Should be a couple months, then we'll have something to share.
How important is it to do something like that before you go up here and you're in training camp and it's kind of football 24/7?
I think it's important because I think everyone on this field is a multifaceted person. They have different talents. You may not know them, but I get a chance to see some of those in the locker room. And I'm really proud of guys when they share those talents, when they cultivate and develop them because they're a whole person.
Was it important for you to do that in Kansas City?
Well, yeah, you know, I feel like the people of Kansas City have been great fans. They've been great to me, and it was really an opportunity for me to see who was working in the film industry here in our city, and the people that I partnered with were awesome. The shoot went smoothly. We got a lot of great footage, and I'm just excited to showcase something one of my passions, but in Kansas City, a shot with people of this.
Chris, I'm sorry. I was going to say, did that help you at all in terms of just, you know, dealing with the other stuff, like getting back physically? I mean, was it a distraction? Was it something that you needed? You know,
I don't think something that's an investment into your future is necessarily a distraction. It didn't directly help me prepare for the football season, if that's the question you're asking.
Well, I meant more of a distraction from, you know, the questions you might have had about your health and getting back. And
that's not at all. You know, that's priority number one. You know, this is my job at the end of the day. That's something that I want to do down the road in the future. So as long as I can give my attention when I need to football and making sure my body's in the right space and I'm ready for camp and I had some time left over, I can spend it on football.
It's been a few days, Chris, but Pat being the quarterback now, meeting you guys, just what have you noticed, seen things that you want to necessarily work with him and get better at?
I've noticed that this guy is willing to learn. I think every day you come out here, there's something else that you can add to that list of things that we want to work on. And he's really taking that list, and you can tell that he's working on it. You know, he's completely a different quarterback now than he was on the first day. And that's a good thing. That's a good thing that he's able to take that coaching, that he wants to communicate, that he'll come over when we're not on the field and communicate with his receivers and say, hey, what are you guys seeing? This is what I'm thinking on this. And really telling us where he kind of wants to move and mold the offense. And so that's a good thing. I think it's something that will continue to develop with time. And I think that the preseason, getting in a game environment will help too. So I'm excited to see him on a game day.
Chris,
Chris, can you talk about the drill? You guys have been playing against air for most of the offseason, especially with you being hurt. To get the pads on, to have a guy in your face, one-on-one, they're yelling, your guys are yelling. What's that like out there?
It's an adrenaline rush, but it's something that helps you remember, hey, if you don't get in football position, your hips aren't low and you're not loaded, you'll get run over. And so that's a good time to learn this now rather than in a preseason game when you're on the kickoff return team and someone's coming full speed down at you. So I think it's good. It's good competition. It's always healthy out here. And our guys, you know, there's not too much ego. We can pick each other up. We can coach each other up. And we can go back and do it again.
Kendall Fuller, just what have you seen from him on the other side of it, just evaluating him?
Kendall Fuller, he's a baller, man. He's got good feet. He's got patience. He can play inside and out. I'm really excited to see him on our defense this year. He's made me better. We've had a lot of conversations coming over on the side, whether I beat him or he's beat me on a play, and we just talked it out and said, hey, this is why I did what I did. This is what I'm thinking here. And it's really, you know, he's a vet. He's a vet to the point where he knows that us having those conversations may give me more tools to beat him in practice, but it's going to make us better as a team.
That, at the end, is also super interesting. And in that clip, you get Chris Conley all over the place. He also talked about, like, video game, and people were asking about Fortnite and stuff, and I didn't even include that because we got a limited amount of time, and comparatively, that was the least interesting thing of all the things he talked about. That assessment of Kendall Fuller there is awesome, all the way to the point to where they're admittedly giving each other, like, a leg up on the other one in practice, but they both are, at least those two guys in this example, are secure enough in their jobs that they're not worried about getting beaten in practice if it means getting better for the games. I don't know what else you could want from a set of teammates. All right, we're going to take a break. Whenever we come back, we'll see if we have time to squeeze any more Chiefs audio out of these last couple days. If not, we'll get to it all tomorrow. Laurent Duvernay-Tardif, Dave Tobe, Xavier Williams, Anthony Hitchens, and Harrison Butker will all be coming up tomorrow in tomorrow's show if we don't have time for any number of them the rest of the show tonight. We don't. We're almost out of time as it is right now. So you're listening to Chiefs Central here on Sports Radio 810, getting you everything you need to know from training camp every single weekday. At the end of the day, 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock, no big deal, we'll be here. I'm Joshua Briscoe, and we'll be back to wrap things up here on Chiefs Central coming up next. Welcome back again to Chiefs Central here on Sports Radio 810. I'm Joshua Briscoe, Charlie Carlin's here with us. And no, I was not batting a big purple ball around during the break. Like a large kitten. Not at all. None of that. I'm also not slightly out of breath because I was doing that. That would be embarrassing. What an embarrassing reason to be out of breath. We don't have any more time to play anything for you. But I will tell you that tomorrow we will be back at the conclusion of Baseball Tonight post-game show with Brad Porter. Charlie, give me a thumbs up again. Got a thumbs up. I got pregame. Brad's got sports night. Brad's got post. I got this. So we'll be back at the conclusion of that tomorrow to hear from Dave Tobe, Xavier Williams, Anthony Hitchens, Laurent Duvernay-Tardif, and Harrison Butker if we have time. I like him. He seems like a good dude. I just sort of forgot about him today and, you know, run out of time. Originally, the goal was to get all those guys in today's show, and I would have literally just been screaming their names in between cuts of audio, which isn't great radio. Plus, if there's anything I love in this business, it's the sound of my own voice. So that was never going to happen. But that's the lineup for tomorrow. Again, the highlights of everything here today. Justin Houston says that he was playing last year largely on one leg, which means that he's about to play a season back on both. And I don't know how to buy stock in a player, an individual player. But if I could in 2018 Justin Houston, I would. I think we're going to get a really nice season from Houston this year if he can stay healthy. Bob Sutton, the main highlight from him was that it sounds like Breland Speaks can play pretty much right away. I think that's another reason to be optimistic about him and what this defense can do. That I don't feel like we got that same confidence when they were talking last year at Tano Passanio. So Speaks being closer to playing now is great. Chris Conley always an interesting conversation. Charlie noted during the break that he just sounds like a really smart guy. Also hear from Eric Fisher tomorrow, by the way. Another person that I forgot that we had on slate for today. Chris Conley just could do whatever he wants. Somebody tweeted me a couple days ago, just said, I wonder if he'll be he sounds like he'll be an NFL head coach someday. And I disagree only because I think there's other things that he wants to do first. But I feel like he could if he wants to. Eric Berry is incredible. Talking about his experience with cancer being a privilege. And the stories from his dad throughout, you know, times of coming back from injury or illness, just really just tremendous. And then Steven Nelson meditates. I like that. I like that we get a fuller picture of all of those guys, who they are as people outside of just what we see on the field. And also we get a look at Justin Houston, what to expect from him on the field. Bob Sutton, what to expect from his scheme on the field. Feels like a nice, well-rounded Chiefs Central, if I do say so myself. So thank you, Charlie Carlin, for DJing all night here. And thank you for listening to this edition of Chiefs Central here on Sports Radio 810. We'll be back again tomorrow. Tobe, Fisher, Williams, Hitchens, Duvernay, Tardif, Butker, maybe. We'll talk to you then. Bye, Mom.